Hello, this is Paul Green, chairman of the City Club of Chicago and WGN political analyst. Today at the City Club, we had Rich Mononico, executive director of the Housing Authority of Cook County. He gave a rather startling picture of the problem of housing in Chicago and in Cook County, with the need being around three-fourths of what is needed is available. He also said that poverty and unemployment are the two main factors which cause housing segregation and the need for new housing.
Good afternoon, everybody. I want to thank my friend Jay for inviting me back here today to talk about some of our progress. And really want to thank President Preckwinkle for that introduction. We heard some of the jobs I've had. I've had a few others, so I guess that means we've been around a while. But I know that I haven't met a public servant that is committed to social justice and the lives of the less fortunate than Tony Preckwinkle. So thank you, Tony. I'm also happy to share this moment today with my colleagues from the Housing Authority and some of our great board members, as well as our partners at the county, without whom we couldn't get done what we get done. So I would just like to ask you all to stand, please, so we can recognize you. So when I look back nearly 5 years ago, I pledged to President Preckwinkle and the board that I'd make a difference. I wanted a housing authority that works for all of our communities and all of our residents. Our mission is to create, rebuild, and maintain safe, affordable housing for every child and family within our reach with the resources we have. I had three basic goals. First and foremost, to increase access to stable, affordable housing with the goal of improving residents' lives, helping families, the elderly and disabled, the homeless and veterans. Secondly, to ensure that these efforts include community collaboration and civic engagement. Partners are critical, especially with the challenges that we face. Third, and in many ways most important, to make a difference for the children who live in public and assisted housing. Every child needs hope. And every child deserves to live in a neighborhood with a high-performing school, safe streets, and recreational opportunities. Today we stand here together looking forward to the future, ready to build on our accomplishments. But much more still needs to be done. Because the harsh, cold reality is that providing more than housing is perhaps our greatest challenge. Really, it's as simple as three basic words. Poverty, homelessness, unemployment. Conditions that continue to plague far too many of our communities and far too many of our people. This is why our focus must extend beyond the housing silo. Because we know poverty has a devastating impact and families, and I'm deeply worried. The gap between the richest and poorest communities continues to widen, and it's getting worse. An eye-opening report mapping economic distress was recently released by the Economic Innovation Group and basically illustrates that what we have, in essence, in America is two Americas. Nationwide, 16% of the population lives in economically distressed zip codes. An example close to home, Robbins with a distress score of 91.1. Naperville with 0.9. Robbins' poverty rate is 33%, and Naperville's poverty rate is 3%. Now, I don't mean to single out these communities. But they are emblematic of not only what's happened here, but in the nation as a whole. And without the foundation of stable housing, generational poverty will continue to wreak havoc on too many communities. Stable, affordable housing has been cited in numerous studies over the past several years as the most important factor and reducing poverty. But sadly, it's out of reach for millions. So what's driving this housing crisis? It's really a classic case of supply and demand. Simply put, the amount of new affordable housing construction is not kept up with the need. And when you combine this with the scale of foreclosures, wage stagnation, and rent increases, the affordability gap gets worse. Without subsidies and federal development dollars, it's nearly impossible to build and develop and operate rental housing that is affordable to low-income renters and extremely low-income renters. A report from the National Low-Income Housing Coalition reveals how bad the problem has gotten over the last 5 years. At $7.25 an hour, a person would have to work 86 hours a week in order to afford a one-bedroom apartment at the fair market rent of $806. 86 hours. Renters in Illinois need to earn $18.78 per hour in order to afford a basic two-bedroom apartment. This formula just doesn't add up for people who are struggling to make ends meet, to keep a roof over their heads, or worse, living in substandard housing, moving from couch to couch, living in a shelter, or even on the street. The fact is that low-income renters are competing for an increasingly scarce supply of rental housing. And federal funding for affordable housing has been reduced by 35% over the past few decades. What's even more alarming is that 1 in 4 of all renter households who live below the poverty line end up with only $5 a day to spend on other necessities because 70% or more of their income goes towards rent. 3/4 of households who qualify for housing assistance don't get it because there's simply just not enough to go around. So why is that? Well, one answer, and the one that I believe is the truth, the primary housing subsidy we have in this country is called the mortgage interest deduction. That's right. Each year, more than 2/3 of the subsidies go to homeowners. Now, this is a time of year, I know, we love this mortgage interest deduction, okay? We do. Some of us have even grown to depend on it, and it's really been institutionalized in our tax code. But you need to take a closer look. More than 3/4 of those tax breaks go to people in the top 20 percentile. $50 billion a year. It's a fact. So as you can see, the resources are there, but the priorities, in my view, are misguided. So that's a little about the national scene. I know not a pretty picture, but I think it needs to be told, and I think we're really doing some good stuff here to attack it. So our challenge is how to preserve and add and preserve affordable housing with an ever-shrinking pool of funds to seed these efforts. Strategically, as the Madam President mentioned, we've made smart investments by leveraging more than $54 million from non-public housing resources to rehabilitate our existing housing. That includes 450 units of properties throughout the county that serve very low-income seniors and the disabled. We are renovating 40-year-old buildings and bringing them up to modern standards, keeping these buildings viable, because without the buildings, the folks that live in our buildings have no place to go. Eventually, we hope to leverage another $100 million in private investment, federal and state tax credits, to rehabilitate or build another 1,500 apartments. At the same time, we need to focus on other vulnerable populations, like providing housing vouchers for homeless families and veterans, and those transitioning from nursing home environments and mental health facilities, and by giving folks a second chance. We became the first P PHA in the state and beyond to consider applicants with a criminal past through our reentry program. I'm happy to say and proud to say that HUD has recognized Cook County's program as a model for the country. We also became the largest housing authority in Illinois to implement a 100% smoke-free policy at all of our sites. We've been trailblazers for fair housing rights under President Preckwinkle's leadership to protect voucher holders from unlawful discrimination solely on the basis of their income. It's no longer allowable for somebody to say to a mom with kids that you can't live in this neighborhood because you have a voucher. So thank you all for working on that with us, and we're very proud of that. We're also hard at work putting hundreds of residents on the self-sufficiency track, offering them a path to home ownership, better educational options for their kids, training and employment opportunities, helping people become independent and able to realize their potential. When I heard the story of a single mom who struggled with a life-threatening illness and still managed to keep her children in school with a roof over their heads, through the help of our family self-sufficiency program, it gave me great hope. It gives me great hope. Ladies and gentlemen, we're so glad to have Ms. Tawana Williams as our guest of honor today because her story defies the odds. Tawana. Today, Tawana no longer needs a voucher. She's gainfully employed and on the path to home ownership. She courageously battled cancer and was determined to make a better life for herself and her family. To top it off, her youngest son was awarded a full scholarship, 4 years, to St. Rita High School. And her oldest is in the nursing program at SIU Edwardsville. Tawana, congratulations. You're a role model. You're a role model. So, yes, there is a direct correlation between housing, self-sufficiency, and education. And perhaps our most far-reaching initiative to date deals with education. By now, most of you are familiar with the recent report completed by UIC's Great Cities Institute and the alarming statistic, citing that 47% of young black males in Illinois were out of school or unemployed in 2014. The implications of poverty and inadequate housing on children's educational outcomes and their future success in life is undeniable. Studies have shown us each year a child spends in a high poverty neighborhood, the odds of going to college decrease. Amazing in America. Earning potential over a lifetime decreases substantially. We firmly believe that stable housing can be a platform for academic achievement here in Cook County, which is why we're so excited about a new program called the Hack Scholars Promise. In partnership with Prairie State College, and we have Dr. Winfrey with us today. Doctor, thank you. And also 1 Million Degrees, great organization. Paige Ponder's here with us today. Thank you, Paige. We're offering a scholarship package that includes tuition assistance, mentoring, academic support, and professional development to give poor kids a chance to learn, grow, and succeed. Kids deserve a future with hope. Hope that will give them the strength and the tools they need to overcome the crushing burden of despair and poverty. And although many low-income parents want their children to go to college, they may not know how to get them there. That's why the Hack Scholars Promise program is so exciting. because we're going to begin to crack this cycle of poverty. So can jobs for young people. Even a temporary summer job or an internship can make a huge difference. Too many of our young people are trapped in jobless communities. So before I close, I need to ask for your help. Everybody's got a card on their table. I wish I had mine. But do you see it? Thanks. So you can check two boxes. And I ask you to check both if you can. One is for our Hack Scholars program, and one is if you can offer a job or an internship to a young person in need. We just ask that you fill out the card, leave it on the tables, and we'll come back and afterwards and pick them up and be in contact with you shortly. Summer's right around the corner, and now more than ever, these young people need your help to be involved in productive and meaningful activities. So we thank you for your anticipated support. It's been a pleasure speaking to you today, and I look forward to fighting these fights with you and overcoming a lot of what I talked about today. Thank you.
If you have questions, our people are coming in the room right now. There they are. Wave your hand. There they are. Wave your hand and we have the questions. Mayor Peterson, what kind of support does the HACC receive from locally elected officials around your buildings? Man wants to volunteer.
Well, I have to say that we don't have a public official more committed to our buildings than Mayor Peterson. So thank you, Mayor. I have to say that we do get support. Some suburbs aren't as able as others because of the financial difficulties they face. So we need more. But, you know, building those bridges and building those partnerships is will make it happen.
This is the City Club. You know that. We never reject questions unless the moderator does so. You know a guy named Tom, you know that guy's name?
Yes.
What's how you pronounce his last name?
Walsh.
Walsh.
Oh, my God.
He asked a very important question. Ms. Preckwinkle's right here. I'm sure she's interested. Can you still hit a three-pointer?
I've gone from 23 feet, but I can still shoot from 15, Tom.
All right. Madam President, writing is still a chore here. Chris Pezza, Chicago Association of Realtors. HACC previously funded security deposits, but not move-in fees with landlords. Transitioning to move-in fees is HAC now are planning to fund more move-in fees?
Well, that's a great question. One of the biggest objectives we have in the next few years is to move folks, especially those kids in households that are 13 years or younger, in some depressed neighborhoods, to areas of opportunity. So the answer to your question is yes. In addition to providing the security deposits, we're working on a package of other supports that will help people move and make the transition successful. And I really need the Chicago Association of Realtors and the Chicago Apartment Association to help me out.
Got it.
Thanks, Brian.
Jessica Caitlin, Habitat for Humanity, may we have a copy of your speech, Wonderful Statistics?
Absolutely.
Autographed?
If they want it.
Okay. It's also on the video on WGN.com, on our own video with thecityclub.com, and probably other places. All right. Michael, we got to have penmanship. D-U-L-O-C-A, is that right, DeLoca? Close enough. How many people apply end up on the waiting list?
So we have a huge waiting list at the Cook County Housing Authority, an even bigger waiting list at our neighbors at the CHA. Gene Jones is with us here today because they just recently opened up theirs. I think they, when they opened up theirs and had a lottery, they had an excess of 200,000 people on the list. So we've been culling through our list, but I can almost guarantee that because you really now have, you got the same number of poor folks who live in the county outside the city is inside the city. I'm pretty sure when we open up ours, it's going to be the same, and there's just not enough.
Christy, LO blank blank H. Where are you, Christy? You know, cowards, dime. There she is. How do you pronounce your last name? All right, she got it right. Can't read this. I'll read the top question. She gives you a multiple choice question to ask. Okay. Will HACC use input from the Chicago Neighborhoods Now Initiative, otherwise known as CNN? Pretty clever. If so, how? Do you want to answer that one, or you could do the second one?
No, we'd love to work with, working with communities. I mean, Mayor Peterson can tell you. We're working on a strategic plan now with Chicago Heights. We need that kind of help and input and feedback. So please, just give me your card and we'll meet.
Use the second one.
What are some ways that HAC has battled housing discrimination? Well, it's not an easy one. There's a concerted effort at HUD right now, actually, to combat this that we're playing a major role in. Because unfortunately what happens, but first I should preface it because we really need to hear some good stuff here. I understand that. We had, when we worked on the source of income legislation, we worked with a lot of leaders, community leaders, and they did hear us out. And I found that going to these groups and talking to them makes a huge difference to erase some of these stereotypes and other sort of mistruths that too often prejudice our program. Some ways that it persists, even though we have this ordinance that says voucher is not, it's a protected class. But what you have is some landlords maybe use ridiculously high credit scores, for example, or have caveats in the agreement that say the family has to earn three times as much as the rent. In my mind, that's just, that's wrong. And the Cook County Department of Human Rights, under President Preckwinkle, has an office that vigorously looks at those.
Okay, one final, we have a late return.
I mentioned Gene Jones from the CHA. Gene, thanks for being here. Okay. I know you're going to. I know Gene is coming up. He's going to be speaking soon.
We also have to announce we have another board member here, and perhaps my biggest fan, Jackie Robinson Ivy. Give her a big round of applause. Okay, the last question is a good one to end with because it's a really, it's a tough question. If you are short housing space, can you repurpose, retrofit any of the 50 CPS schools that were closed? Not going to say it'd be easy.
Well, the whole idea of retrofitting commercial spaces and industrial spaces is not an easy one for the architects and engineers in the room. But, I mean, those are the kinds of things, in all honesty, that we want to look at because we know we need to increase the supply, right? Just about because what I said here today. We know we need to increase the supply. Now, the one thing that, for that question, we just operate outside of Chicago. So we could not do that in a school in the city, but we could certainly do that in the suburbs.
How about a big round of applause? Well done. Here you go. You have a mug.